Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Happy holidays to you and your family. We are so glad you're joining us this weekend. The bowl season is now underway, and there are plenty of storylines to go around, a number of matchups that we're going to take a look at. In fact, joining us this weekend from Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com is our good friend Joey Lucci, who had a rough start to the beginning of the college football season, and I hope you're 100% after that terrible car accident. How are you, Joey? We've actually had some friends that have said, when are you going to have that Lucci guy on? We miss you.
Yeah, I was involved, and not to get too specific, in an automobile accident. I'm doing okay. I've been missed a couple months of work, some physical therapy. I'm still not 100%, but I appreciate all the tweets, thoughts, and prayers. That's why I haven't really been out on the national scene as much as I'd want, kind of taking a little bit of a step back. But like I said, still doing what I'm doing, just behind the scenes a little bit more. And I'll be 100%, but this is one of those where I might be redshirting if that's a good college term.
Well, it is wonderful, Joey, to have you back. And let's start things off by talking about TCU, Michigan State. Of course, we had head coach Gary Patterson on our program last week. Everybody's gearing up for December 29th in Tempe, Arizona for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. They're going to face a 7-5 team, a team that has an identical record to the Frogs. Of course, the Frogs finishing 4-5 in Big 12 conference play. And what intrigues you the most about this particular matchup?
I mean, it was kind of a dark cloud at the beginning of the year, you know, the quarterback situation. We don't have to get into that specifics. But then you see the emergence of the future a little bit with Boykins with TCU. And I know 7-5 is not what they wanted, but think about it. They made a huge jump in competition going from one conference to another. I think this spells well for the 2013 team. I really anticipate them being able to compete for the Big 12 title, so to speak, next year. And what I like about the, you know, bowl season with all the teams, especially with TCU, it's kind of like the start of spring. You get all those practices and things like that. So a chance to have a young team get on the field and see what they got. They play a Michigan State team that's very disappointing. I thought they played better than they did. They finished 500 this year. Le'Veon Bell is the guy that you want to take a look at to stop Michigan State. That's the guy you want to stop. Andrew Maxwell, not like the Michigan State quarterbacks in the past, kind of guy I scratched my head. Didn't look like he was too comfortable with the offense this year. And I'll tell you what, this is a Michigan State team that had to win the last two games to get to this bowl. So I fully anticipate TCU having a really good bowl game. I think Boykins is going to show his talent. It'll carry over. And I like TCU kind of big in this game just because I think Michigan State is very, very overrated coming in here.
Joey Lucci is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can go to our radio website, that is eradiosports.com, and you can always find out great information on all the bowl games at Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. And Joey, I think you're spot on because Michigan State was a team that this season they really did underachieve. And I think what's remarkable for TCU is they had to overcome so many obstacles. You know, there's always been so much talk about the suspension of Casey Pahal and how Richard freshman quarterback Trevon Boykin really stepped up, but even goes beyond that. I mean, they started off the season, you know, their running back Wayman James, the knee injury, Ed Wesley, he left, you know, for the NFL, did not get picked up by a team. But the one thing that remained the same and always consistent, and this is Gary Patterson's staple, is his defense. I mean, they love to get physical and they'll lay a hit on you.
Yeah, and if you look at the last two opponents, Texas and Oklahoma, after that bye week, you know, they only let up 13 and 24 points, you know, going 1-1 and playing very well. And obviously that Thanksgiving night win against Texas really opened my eyes to what he did. And, you know, they had to go through some things, like every team. And they didn't have their best team on the field, obviously, at the beginning, not even in the middle. And then, you know, Boykin had to be thrown in there at quarterback. And if you'd have said at the beginning of the year he was going to be your starter in the bowl game, he would have been like, no way. So they went through it, but good now. Like I said, you get that bowl practices going, and then you got the spring coming up. I'm telling you, TCU is going to be reckoned with in the Big 12 next year, and they will be much better than that 7-5 record. In fact, the early thing, and you know we do it at philsteele.com, we look at teams. Now what we think we're going to happen, I've got TCU at double-digit wins, back to double-digit wins next year. So, but we'll talk about that later on, but just a little sneak preview of 2013.
Well, Joey, when you do talk to Phil Steele, I mean, what is the perception nationally at TCU? You had talked about them competing this year, the inaugural season in the Big 12 Conference, a power conference, but I thought they withstood, you know, so many storms and did an amazing job, and boy, the future really is bright.
fact of the matter is they played with the boys that are, you know, your Oklahoma State and even your Oklahomas, and it seems that you probably thought they were going to lose, that maybe they were, you know, on the short end of the stick and when I watched them, but competing is what I wanted to see, and that's what they did. And like I said, what they overcame and kind of just thrown at them. I mean, anytime Gary Patterson, you look at him and you don't have those household names all the time, but they always seem to be winners, and he gets the job done over and over again, and I absolutely love it. And the other thing, too, about their quarterback situation and how the whole off-field incident was kind of handled, that was pretty quick, if you've noticed. I mean, it was there and it was gone, you know, boom, boom. And that's the sign of a good head coach. When there's a problem, it didn't drag on. Some of these programs, it drags on in week two. You're still talking about in week eight, week nine. That was a two-week thing. It said it's done. It's in the rearview mirror. Now let's focus on the future. And that's what I love about Gary Patterson, and that's what I love about the TCU program. And I believe their 2013 season starts with a big win against Michigan State and the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
Well, you bring up a number of great points, and I have to mention that last week when I had a conversation with Coach Patterson, the one thing I appreciate about him so much, he's very consistent. He always is so humble, and he credits his assistant coaches for how these guys, he has a staff. He doesn't have a lot of turnover. He has a staff that's been together for a long time. They've been through a lot of different football wars, and with this particular freshman class they had, as I had mentioned, the number 17 true freshmen that played, what's amazing about it is that these coaches got these players ready to play night in, night out, and they were mature enough to handle the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw it on the field. And you knew, they probably, you know, weren't going to win as many games as the years passed just due to the nature of the step-up in competition. But, like I said, they persevered, and I see the future being bright. And I'll tell you what, if 7-5 is a bad year, and only the Buffalo Wild Wings, well, a lot of programs will take that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, after the loss against Oklahoma, Coach Patterson said that this has been like a 13-0 season with these kids and what they've had to endure and what they've had to go through. So that certainly says a lot. Hey, we're having a great conversation. We're talking about some bowl coverage with Joey Lucci. We have missed him. We are so glad that he's back on our program. Of course, you can catch all of his information at Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. Any other additional points you want to bring up about Michigan State before we transition? We're going to talk some Oklahoma, Texas A&M. Can you tell us a little bit more about as far as their quarterback?
Well, Andrew Maxwell, you know, replaced some of the, you know, the quarterbacks that they've had, you know, like the Kirk Cousins, and, you know, and he's not that kind of quarterback.
Okay.
And he's still young. He's learning, you know, but, you know, he went through the whole season. He just hasn't did that. I've watched a lot of Michigan State football, just like every team I'm watching a lot of. But when I watch Andrew Maxwell, I just don't see it. Le'Veon Bell is the key. He's a 1,600-1,000-yard rusher this year, plus rusher. That's the guy you're going to have to stop, and I don't see any reason why TCU can't stop that. Their receiving core does not, you know, impress me that much at all, except for their big tight end, Deion Sims. But like I said, I think they'll be able to take care of that. But their defense is good. So when I see this game, I see a very low-scoring game because Michigan State's going to be able to stop TCU a couple times. But I think in that 24 to kind of 10 range is where you're going to see this at. But to stop Michigan State, it will be Bell. And I'll tell you, if Bell rushes for 100 yards, then Michigan State probably ends up winning this game. But I don't think TCU is going to let him. And I think he's going to have a rough day. And that just means too much pressure on this young quarterback. And they just don't have the firepower at receiver to keep up.
Just a minute ago, I asked you about the perception nationally as far as with TCU. But what about the perception nationally with the Big Ten Conference? Because it seems like they really got hammered this year and did not get a whole lot of credit or respect.
Yeah, and I think when it's all said and done, they're going to have a bad bowl season as well, too. You're talking about maybe your two best teams can't even play for a bowl. You know, Ohio State being banded, they probably played Notre Dame this year. Obviously, they would have if they're not banded. And then Penn State, what a surprise Bill O'Brien did over there. I mean, he's one of my votes for Coach of the Year. And I know people laugh at that, but I'm telling you, everything they lost, they finished 8-4. And then, you know, you look at it, a 7-5 Wisconsin team that doesn't even have their head coach, you know, is playing for the Rose
right.
Bowl, top bowl game. So, yeah, there definitely is. And the downside of Nebraska with the knock on Bo Pelini that he's just not winning the big games and stuff. So by default, you have, you know, a conference kind of champion there and a really down year. And I'll tell you what, the Pac-12, the ACC, obviously the Big 12, of course the SEC, all conference in my mind. And I think even the Big East at some time, and I know a lot of people make fun of that conference for being a fake BCS conference. I think you got to start looking at the Big Ten as maybe probably the bottom feeder of the BCS conferences this year.
Joey Lucci delivering some great information this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Again, we want to direct you to our radio website. We've got some great stuff on there at eradiosports.com. We continue to secure and pick up additional affiliates. Joey, I'm going to have to start wearing Spanx. I mean, we're getting bigger all the time. But now let's transition. We got to talk about, I know we're here still in the month of December, but January 4th at Cowboys Stadium. My goodness, how about those Oklahoma Sooners and Texas A&M, a rematch of those good old Big 12 conference days?
Oh, I know. It's amazing. You look at the Cotton Bowl and you go, okay, it's an SEC versus Big 12. It's kind of a Big 12 versus Big 12. I mean, if you look at it.
I got to get to that game.
Everybody's going to talk about Johnny Manziel in this game. And I'll tell you what, I love the Heisman. I have a vote in it and everything. But Johnny Manziel won the Heisman because he beat Alabama, and Baylor beat Kansas State. No disrespect to him, but that's just what happened. If A&M doesn't beat Bama, he doesn't win it. But he's still a talent out there. And what Kevin Sumlin's done for this team, I didn't think they'd beat 10-2. He told me they were playing in the Cotton Bowl at the end of the year. I said, no way. You've got a freshman quarterback. You've got a first-year head coach. And now you're playing Oklahoma. And I know Oklahoma, it's kind of funny. When you look at A&M, their 10-2 season, you're like, wow. You look at Oklahoma, you go, their 10-2 season, you start going, disappointment. Because it's funny that at the beginning of the year, Landry Jones is on everybody's hot list to win the Heisman, but now he's playing the Heisman Trophy winner. So it's kind of ironic on that win. But when you look at Oklahoma and you kind of break down, you know, their season as a whole, you know, another successful season, which Stoops just did. And unfortunately, they caught some teams at some bad times. When you're playing this game, and when I look at it, you know, look at A&M. You know, they beat Alabama, and I know a lot of people compare and say, okay, Alabama, you know, Oklahoma, kind of that same prestige of a program. But remember, they took on Alabama after Alabama had that drive against LSU to win that game, kind of keep their title hopes alive at that point. And then Oklahoma, what was their two losses this year? Oh, yeah, by the way, Kansas State, they beat Baylor. They're playing for a national title. And, of course, Notre Dame. So the two losses combined opponents, were they like 23-1, something like that. So another, you know, exciting year for Oklahoma. When you start breaking down Oklahoma, obviously you start talking defense, and they've been able to do that. You know, your running backs, I love the way Williams runs the ball. You know, it's funny, I'm not a big fan of the two-quarterback system, but when they put the bulldozer in, you know he's going to run, but most of the time he's getting the job done. But I want to see the ball more in Landry Jones' hands in this bowl game, and I think he'll do that. I think you'll see the Stills kind of, it's funny, Kenny Stills is one of my favorite receivers from college football. I would say the Stills, Nash, and Young kind of guy. And I think you're going to see a big bowl game from Oklahoma. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I know A&M, no disrespect to that program, they've got a lot of talent, you know, with Manziel being both the passer, the rusher kind of guy there. But I think Oklahoma wins this by double digits. You know, and I really do, and I think they put a staple on it because, you know, the amount of teams that they went through, you know, they're 10-2, people are going to look at these two and say they're identical. I still give a tad to Oklahoma, the dominance of the history of the series, and also I believe that Landry Jones is going to go out on top and have a huge game in this one and outshine Johnny Manziel. Now, disrespect to Johnny Manziel, I think his future is bright in college football, and I think everybody would agree with that. But I just think the Sooners have too much here.
Well, Joey, it's not how you start, but how you finish. And Landry Jones did not get off to a fast start this season, but he has certainly closed fast, and he's playing extremely well. And I know there's already the talk about, you know, can he take his game to the next level? Can he be successful in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he can. And I think he's ready to do that. And I saw that, you know, he would have been, you know, if he came out early, obviously he might have been playing for the Colts right now. But maybe that wasn't a great situation for him. And I know why he wanted to come back, the same reason a Mac Barkley wanted to come back to the USC. Sometimes that one last shot and everything like that. But I don't think it really, I think it kind of just kind of plateaued with Landry Jones. I don't really see it hurting him. I don't really see it, you know, if he has a big bowl game, I can see it helping him more. And I think this being on a national stage, singled out game, Cotton Bowl, playing the Heisman Trophy winner, if he can put up that 300-350-yard game, and do that, I think then his stock's going to go way up, and I think he's going to have a bright future in the NFL. And there's one thing about the NFL, if you've noticed, there's a lot of lack of quarterbacks there. When I see a Brady Quinn starting at quarterback, there needs to be some quarterbacks.
Hey, you know, you're talking about that you have a Heisman vote. Each and every week on our program, we have Jason Peter, who is, of course, a three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, played for Tom Osborne. He, too, has a Heisman vote. And we were talking about Johnny Manziel. And, I mean, here he is. I mean, he just turned 20 years old. Could you just believe how mature he is? You can tell he comes from an incredible family, very grounded. But I have to tell you, as a parent, now our sons are golfers, but I mean, that's how you want to raise your child and for them to be able to articulate themselves and really speak from their heart. I mean, my sons were like, why isn't he crying? I'm like, because he's so composed.
He is. As a, you know, composed kid, good-looking girlfriend, you know, he's got a good-looking future. You know,
that is a prerequisite, right?
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I just had to add that in there because I was like, who's he hanging out with there? But when I look at it, you know, me personally, not the cat's out of the bag, I did not vote for Johnny Manziel. And there was no reason because Johnny Manziel's a freshman or he might win it in the future. And I did not vote for Colin Klein. I voted for Manti Te'o. And the reason I did is because I think that Colin Klein got an unfair advantage because a disadvantage because he lost one game. And I think Johnny Manziel won one game against Bama, that one game obviously Kansas State to Baylor. But I think Manti Te'o was 12-0 and was consistent enough throughout the whole year. And we got to start looking at it as voters that, you know what, let's not discredit a guy from not only not being a freshman, but defensively. The best player on the best team should win the Heisman hands down.
Jerry Lucci with Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. We got about 5 more minutes with him, and we do want to pause and take time. How about the dream matchup for the national championship? My goodness, Alabama-Notre Dame, they meet January 7th in Miami for the BCS national championship, and that's going to be a matchup for casual fans and for all of us diehards too, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, if you're a Bama fan, I'd be sending some Christmas cards out. The first one I'd send out is Ohio State.
My stepmother's a big Alabama fan, okay?
That was my first one. My second Christmas card would go out to Stanford and say, thank you for beating LSU, that you helped us out. And my third Christmas card would be going down to Waco in Texas and saying, thank you, Baylor. Because any of those programs would have beat Bama, but not discrediting how great they are. Obviously, we know how good this team is. And to come and repeat is just absolutely unheard of in this day of age. And now they have the chance to do it. But when you look at Notre Dame, I'm telling you, I have to say I apologize to the Notre Dame program. I thought this could be a year where, you know, Kelly was a coach that I thought could be on the hot seat, could be gone 5-7, maybe 6-6. They weren't even ranked at the beginning of their year. He wins the AP Coach of the Year. There is so much similarity with this Notre Dame team than the 2002 Ohio State Buckeye team. And hear me out on this. When you look at Ohio State in 2002, they were a big underdog against Miami of Florida. Miami of Florida was superior. They had won national championships. Alabama, superior. Notre Dame, a big underdog here. Ohio State, known for their defense. Obviously, if you've never watched a Notre Dame game, this defense is absolutely phenomenal. Maybe a tad better than Alabama. Yeah, I said it, an SEC defense. And then Ohio State back in 2002, not known for their offense. Notre Dame, not known for their offense. And then, of course, throughout the year, you know, Notre Dame had to go through some things like that 3-overtime game against Pittsburgh. But don't forget, that was the Oklahoma game. And I know a lot of Oklahoma fans are familiar with this Fighting Irish defense, you know, and what they, you know, kind of did to them. And then they kind of got things going late, but, you know, too little too late, so to speak. But, you know, Manti Te'o, Nick's on the defensive line. And then on offense, both in their quarterback, he's very, very, very sneaky. He can do some things in here. Now, when you look at Alabama, the way to stop Alabama is absolutely stop their running game. They have a true freshman, Yeldon. CJ Yeldon. This kid, they're comparing to a Mark Ingram, you know, kind of a Trent Richardson type.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, they said they might be better than them. And that's amazing. I mean, is Bama just like creating these running backs in a laboratory somewhere? And then, of course, Eddie Lacy is right there. Now, A.J. McCarron is the senior quarterback. He has a national championship underneath their belt. But check this stat out. When Alabama is held below 150 rushing, when they rush for more than 150 yards, I should say, they're 49-0 since 2008. That's the key statistic there. Notre Dame's defensive front seven against Alabama's running game. That'll be the key. When you look up at the stat, you don't even have to watch the game. I know most people will. If you don't, you're crazy in my mind. But when you look at it, you just see the stats at the end of the game. If Alabama maybe rushes for under 150, maybe Notre Dame takes home the championship. If they rush for over 150, it most likely goes to Alabama. And that's kind of how I see kind of a weird way to break down the national championship game that, you know, not a lot of people are really talking about.
Well, Alabama, I'm giving them the nod. And, you know, they've got A.J. McCarron. I mean, he certainly is a guy that thrives under pressure. He lives for the toughest circumstances.
Game manager, and if you didn't watch the game earlier, that's, you know, they're down. Let's just face it, you know, if they lose that game, then they would have lost A&M. They would have been nowhere near in this game. But that drive, and he is. He's the ultimate game manager. He's not going to win a lot of awards. He's not a flashy guy. He's not going to be your Geno Smith kind of quarterback, you know. So everybody's kind of talking about doing this. He's just a game manager, and he's got a bright future, in my opinion, in the NFL. But doing that, and you know what? And that's a lot of advantages to Alabama. Been there, has a quarterback that does it, a great running game and stuff like that. But don't discredit this Notre Dame defense. And I know, you know, Vegas in the desert, you know, if you do that kind of thing, they've got, a double-digit line on this one. I think that's way, way out of whack. I just love the way the Irish play. And you know what? There's one advantage that Notre Dame has over everyone else this year that's bowl eligible, that's not banned, is that they haven't lost. They haven't experienced a defeat in anything. So obviously what they're doing is working, and I don't see any reason why they're not going to do the same thing come January 7th.
Well, my final question for you, Joey, is the ultimate game manager, and I truly believe is the X factor for Alabama, is their coach Nick Saban. I mean, shooting for his fourth BCS title in a decade, I mean, he has the reputation.
I think sometimes I don't talk about him because I just assume he's so good. You know,
we've got to hit on Nick.
It's kind of, yeah, no, you do. And it's kind of like ice skating and hockey. You don't talk about it because it's just there and they do it so well. Nick Saban's like that in college football. He's just a great head coach. He's one of my favorite head coaches. In fact, I've never, you know, made it non-public. You know, if Nick Saban is my favorite, just like Gary Patterson, his coaches, why are they successful? Why do they continue to win? Because they're disciplinary. They have a thing in place. It's their way. You know, they're able to translate this, you know, to the players, and they're able to do it on the field. And I'm telling you, if you don't get the two straight national titles on luck, there's so much that you. I mean, there's sometimes you have to have some luck during the season, but you do it with great coaching staff, the players. You know, you have to have obviously the talent there. And everything kind of just sets up. And I'll tell you what, he goes out and wins two straight national champions. You know, he's got sitting there. If I'm Alabama, I'm like, you got a lifetime contract. You can do when you want. You can do what you want, when you want. You name your price. You know, we're not letting you go at all.
It really is amazing to watch that level of consistency. And they've got that magic touch. It almost seems like those coaches have like a special anointing on them because when it matters the most and the lights are the brightest, they are very successful. So listen, Joey, we definitely want to direct all of our listeners to Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. And there's some great information on there. And listen, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and you have a great new year. And we're looking forward to 2013 and your breakdown of all the college football teams. Thank you so much, Joey.
I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and your family as well, and to everyone out there. Happy holidays. Enjoy your family, and you know, this is a great time of year, not only to be a college football fan, but to just love on your families out there.
Absolutely. You bet. We'll talk some NBA, too, when we have you back on, okay?
All right.
All right. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead. We're going to talk some Texas, some Longhorn football here in just a moment. Stay close.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air, asking the questions you want to know, with the biggest and best names in sports, like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
I watched our kids in the offseason. You could really tell the work ethic. Our kids have played very hard, and they put themselves in a position where they are right now.
The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa, it's our pleasure. You've always been good to us, and we're glad to be part of it.
Hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. Hope all of you are enjoying this beautiful time of year, the holiday season, and it is time now to preview the Alamo Bowl with Texas and Oregon State. Of course, that's going to be coming up December 29th. Oregon State, this has been really a turnaround season for them, 9-3. They won actually six more games than they did last year, and unfortunately for Texas, for our Longhorn friends, they're trying to salvage a season that really was a disappointment, 8-4. I know they expect much more out of that, and so the guy that's going to fill us in and give us the pulse on what's going on in Austin is our good friend of our program from Horns Illustrated, the associate editor, Steve Habel. Hi, Steve. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and yours, Alyssa.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about as far as this challenge with Oregon State. You've got two young teams, two programs that are looking to make some progress. They want to finish their season on a positive note. What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's a pretty good matchup, Alyssa. Texas has played well for some parts of the year this year. They had some downturn here at the end, losing to TCU and then getting blown out by Kansas State, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Kansas State's a great team. But Texas is still taking baby steps. We thought they'd be further along this year. They started off well. They had some setbacks. They played well again for a stretch, and now they're coming into this game on a two-game losing streak. So I think that Mac Brown and the team there feel like they have a lot to prove in this bowl game. And Oregon State, just a surprise for everybody. I think that they really caught some people unawares that they're as good as they are. They've got some Texas kids on that team that are playing well. Their running back is really good. He's from the Austin area. So looking for a lot of orange in the Alamo Dome.
Steve, you know, but when you look at Texas, as you're looking at their body of work and what they were able to do this year, we certainly saw a lot of inconsistency at the quarterback position, you know, untimely mistakes. Kind of fill us in as far as I understand on Monday afternoon that Mac Brown did make the decision. David Ash, he has solidified. He will be the starter in this game against Oregon State, correct?
That's true. Actually, the decision was verified by Coach Brown, but it was actually made by the new offensive coordinator, Major Applewhite,
okay.
Who's taken over from Brian Harsin. The two guys were co-offensive coordinators for the past 2 years, but Harsin got the job as the head coach at Arkansas State and has moved on up there to Jonesboro, and Major's making all the offensive decisions now, and him and his coaching staff, his underlings, got together and decided that if Ash was healthy, that he wanted Ash at quarterback, and so he's there. Mac is behind that 100%, and we'll see how Ash plays. He's had an up and down season as well, so we'll it'll be fun to watch to see if he's taken the progression forward in the last month.
What is the latest on David Ash in terms of his injury situation? We know he got some bruised up ribs. I mean, from the TCU game, that was back during the Thanksgiving holiday.
Right. I think he's okay. Alyssa, I think they wouldn't let him play if he was not okay. He's Case McCoy took his place in the Kansas State game, and Case had a pretty good game. He completed
13
passes in a row at one stretch, which was one short of his brother's record here at Texas. But he also threw two of the worst passes that anybody's ever seen that almost went back for pick sixes. So he's got to, I think they've decided that Case is not the answer here, that Ash is probably the player if he can play. But we'll have to see how that moves on, because next year, both those guys should be back, and we'll be answering a lot of the same questions we have the last 2 years.
Well, I always like to talk about the positives, and you look at what Jonathan Gray, I mean, he really has established himself, and the future sure looks bright with him going to be around.
Jonathan Gray's been exactly what they thought he was going to be, Alyssa. He's a fastback, he's tough, he can carry the ball a lot. He adds a dimension to the Texas offense that, quite frankly, the other two good running backs, Malcolm Brown and Joe Bergeron, don't. Both Bergeron and Brown will also be available to play in the Alamo Bowl. Bergeron had a dinged-up shoulder from the Texas State game, Kansas State game. But, Bergeron is more of a power back, short yardage guy. He's got some speed, too, but that's the power and the short yardage is kind of his forte. Brown is kind of a mixture between the two and is very good at pass protection when Texas throws the ball. And Gray is just a dynamic kid. I mean, you've seen him play up there in Aledo.
Yes.
Exactly what's going on with him. So he's really... for the next 3 years, Texas is going to be very solid at running back position.
Well, he really has established himself and runs hard every single game. But let's talk about defensively for Texas. Linebacker Steve Edmond, I mean, he really has emerged and was a force during his sophomore season. He's been a real positive.
Edmond has had a great year. He's been the leading tackler right at it for most of the year. He's still a young guy, too. Remember, he came from a small program, a 2A program. So it took him a while to learn the ins and outs of the game here. He was really hampered by when Jordan Hicks, the Texas outside linebacker who really called the defensive signals for the team, went out after the Mississippi game, and Edmond had to assume some of that leadership role. It took him a while to get going, but he's come on late in the season.
Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Of course, he is the associate editor with Horns Illustrated. And what are going to be the keys going into that game against Oregon State?
Well, I think Texas wants to run the ball if they can. They've got three backs that can do it. And Malcolm Brown is from San Antonio. So I'm sure that Coach Brown will get him a lot of carries in the game, Coach Brown and Applewhite. You know, they have to pass the ball effectively to keep Oregon State off the field. They have a dynamic offense. They get things done with a – they have a quarterback platoon of their own, so you got to prepare for two different styles of quarterbacks with them and a running game. They have two wide receivers that have each gained 1,000 yards through the air this year, so they have some weapons. You know, I think it'll come down to defense. I'm a defensive guy, and I've always said that just about all football games come down to the teams that make the most stops and the least mistakes. So if Texas can get that done, they'll win. And they usually play pretty well in these bowl games, Alyssa. Mac has had them in a bowl game every year except one, and they've had a great record in them. They seem to flourish a little bit during the time off between the regular season and the bowl games. That's when they can do the best teaching, and Mac's staff usually does a good job of that.
Well, Texas got off, as we look at the season, you know, just kind of the overview, you know, won four straight, and then you guys got that loss against West Virginia, then, of course, you know, the Red River rivalry, and, of course, losses against TCU and at Kansas State. So finishing the season 8-4, but what is the pulse in terms with the fans? Because how are they doing, and is Mac Brown's job, is it secure? What are you hearing, Steve?
I think Mac Brown can stay here as long as he wants to stay here, Alyssa. He has the backing of DeLoss Dodds, the athletic director, and President William Powers of the university. They've both come out publicly saying that Mac is not going anywhere. At the same time, I know there's a lot of boosters that are upset that Texas isn't winning the Big 12 every year. They're, you know, they're not ranked in the final AP poll. You know, you've got teams like Utah State and San Jose State and stuff like that that are ranked above them, and that just doesn't sit very well with a lot of big Texas boosters. But you know that where they were 2 years ago when they were ahead of the losing season at 5-7, and where they are now is a huge step up. I think that they still, you know, have a very young team. They only have four or five seniors that even contributed a lot to the game this year. And so they'll come in next year stocked and ready to go. This bowl game will be a good indication of how they've grown since the end of the regular season, and then they'll take the next step forward in the spring.
Texas, Oregon State, of course, December 29th. That is going to be a great game to watch. And there is some good news taking place down there in Austin. Boy, talk to us about your men's basketball team. A big win against North Carolina the other night.
Yeah, that completely came out of left field, Alyssa. The Texas men's basketball team has really struggled this year. They're without their point guard Mike Kabongo, who's sitting out while the NCAA rules on some on a trip he took to a camp this summer. But they've kind of struggled to put things together. Last night, everything worked for them. You know, they played hard against a North Carolina team that came in here. And last year, they were just dominated by North Carolina. And I really don't have any answers as to how, you know, Texas was able to win against North Carolina. I would have given a nickel for a dime that they could do it. But it's, you know, it just shows you that they got to play the game on the court. And if anybody can beat anybody at any time, and, you know, maybe this is the win that springs them forward. I mean, to be quite honest, last Saturday when we saw them, Texas struggled to beat Texas State. And if Texas State hadn't missed, you know, 18 free throws in the game, then they would have beat Texas. And now they come in and beat North Carolina. So it's amazing just to turn around in just the past couple of days.
Well, anything can happen when you're at the Frank Irwin Center, right?
That's true.
Okay, quickly, give us an update as far as with your women's basketball program. I understand you got a new head coach, and she was an assistant for Jody Conrad.
Yes, Karen Aston is here, her first year. She brings a lot of intensity and basic fundamentals to the team. The team is very young, Alyssa. They have their leading players are young, and you know they have an aggressive schedule. They've lost twice, actually two of their last three games to UCLA and this past weekend to Tennessee, which is a very good team, always is. And Tennessee's with their new first-year coach, too. But I think that Aston has got them going in the right direction. They've, you know, they need to take baby steps as well to get back to where they were under Jody Conrad in those years.
Okay, Steve Habel has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. That's a great Longhorn update. I know you're going to have a lot of fun with that Texas-Oregon State game. And Steve, we'll just talk to you after that, and we can get a full recap from you, okay?
Thanks for having me on, Alyssa.
You bet. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
Okay, we're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. We're getting ready to talk to Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.